אנחנו קוראים את הפתיחה לחוכמת הקבלה. אנחנו נמצאים באות ממתת.
We are in item 49 in the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah.
ואלו הרשימות
item 49.
הנשארות למטה בגוף אחר הסתלקות האורות דטעמים.
The records that remain below in the goof after the departure of the lights of Ta'amim are called Tagin. And the records that remain from the levels of the Nikudot are called Otiot, which are vessels. Also, the Tagin, which are the records from the lights of Ta'amim, hover over the Otiot and the vessels and sustain them. Thus, we have clarified the four types of lights, called Ta'amim Nekudot, Tegin, Otiot. The first level to emerge in each Partsuf of the five Partsufim, called Galgalta, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Bon, is called Ta'amim. The levels that emerge in each Partsuf once it has started to be refined, until it is completely refined, are called Nekudot. The records that remain of the lights of Ta'amim in each level after their departure are called Tegin. And the records that remain from the lights of the levels of Nekudot after their departure are called Otiot, or vessels. Remember this in all five Partsufim called Galgalta, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Bon. For in all of them there is refinement, and they all have these four types of lights.
Questions, please.
Ken Orent.
Yes, Sylvan.
It is written
that Reshimot in the Tiamim, meaning the Tagin, hover over the Reshimot, the records
that are vessels.
What
does it mean that the Tagin keep the Otiot?
There was one vessel with one light in it. That was the first state. When the lights start exiting the vessels, then we find differences between the light and the vessel. That's what we need to research. Because all in all, those are the states, the differences between the lights and the vessels. That's what's going to obligate the vessels to take new forms and receive all kinds of new lights inside them. That's it. That's why that's how we research them. So we have Tanta, the light that enters, the light that exits, and it according to that, parts of the vessels.
So the Reshimot, the records of the Ta'amim are called the Tagin.
Right.
The Reshimot records of the Nekudot are called Otiot, and the Tagin keep the Otiot.
What
does it mean that the what is this relationship that the Tagin is above the Otiot?
The relation between them are like a light and the vessel. First come the Ta'amim. They come from above downward. And the rest is as a response to the expansion of the Ta'amim in the vessels.
So this impression that one keeps the other?
Right, it keeps it. It's a result of the previous form of bestowal.
Ken.
Yeah.
למה הוא קורא לאותיות גם כלים וגם אורות?
Why does he call the אותיות both vessels and lights?
קודם כל, אנחנו לא יודעים מה זה כלי.
First of all, we don't know what a vessel is in the way you think it is. We always just feel the inspiration of the will to receive from something that it is filled by. To the extent that there's a bit of a difference between the two. If there wasn't a difference, we wouldn't be able to feel it. That's why we always feel the lights that are different from the vessels. If we feel it.
And why are the otiyot
closest to us and not the nekudot or the teamim? And we speak of the otiyot most.
The otiyot, the letters, are the final form of the vessel, the clearest form of the will to receive, that receive changes by the lights that pass through it. That's why we relate to the letters, to the otiyot. It's more clear to us what the end of the action of the upper one was on the will to receive that it created. And that is the otiyot, the letters.
In the 10, when we awaken the yearning, let's say we yearn for all sorts of degrees that we are not in attainment of, or we awaken these records in a stronger way. Let's say we're talking about reaching love of the Creator, and we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But we do understand that what's clear for us is love of friends. And through the love of friends, we're saying something that we want to attain, something that we have no attainment in, that we, it's not clear for us. But love of friends, we know that we can exert in. When we announce that we want to attain a certain degree that we don't have an attainment, are we awakening all of these records?
Yes, in each and every action, we're awakening all the records because they are all connected to each other. It's as one system. It's like a cloud around the partzuf, let's say, that is constantly going through changes. Even if something changes in it, everything changes.
When we're acting in all sorts of ways, is there a stronger awakening?
We are always going through changes that bring us to more exalted states. Okay.
Ken, sir.
Yeah.
אפשר להגיד שאותיות גם כוללות.
Can we say that אותיות include תגין, אותיות ותאמים at the end of the day?
No. ממטה למעלה, אם אנחנו הולכים לשיר.
From below upward, if we will go to attain, so yeah, it's like that. But not if the letters themselves they have all those records, those impressions, those elements of the lights, the nekudot, the vessels. Not that.
Thank you.
There was someone else there, no? Yeah.
He's writing here that the first degree that comes out of each partsuf and all of the other degrees are called nekudot.
Yeah.
So ta'amim are the lights that come from the partsuf. That's why it's called ta'amim?
No. Ta'amim are lights that enter the partsuf. And the Patsu feels them, and upon them he responds.
The main thing in the Patsuf, right?
Yes, of course.
And what comes after is how in comparison to Ta'amim.
Everything is a response to the Ta'amim.
Meaning Malchut is working in Ta'amim, and after its degrees.
Yeah, you can say that too.
No.
Yes.
Haim, ze nachon lehagid.
Is it correct to say that we are Reshimo of a broken vessel and a leftover of the returning light?
Correct.
All and one.
Good morning, dear Rav. When the light, actually, if the ta'amim departs the vessel, it stays, let's say, as a record, as a tagin. Why is this kept, if you call it a refinement? Why would you want to keep, why do you want to keep, let's say, a record if it needs to be refined?
The screen that sustains the lights refines itself. But along with that, the whole process beyond the screen in reception of the light, in the striking and the beating, and by the lights exiting the vessel, the refinement of the screen, all these things have remained and been recorded on the screen. The screen actually keeps the whole process that the lights goes through the vessel. It performs the coupling by striking. It receives the light in the vessel. It decides to refine itself on its process in the screen of the Rosh. It goes from the Tabu to the Peh, and by that it drives the inner light out. But, and it becomes surrounding light. And all of this takes place on the screen.
Is this the same? It's the same process there. When the light, the light returns, let's say, as a nekudot, and also there the records are the otiot. Is that the same thing? Same process there. What you described.
Lo evanti ma ta omer.
I didn't understand what you said. Again.
What you described there about, let's say, the ta'amim, let's say you have the records stay below. You also have these records that stay below, let's say, with the oitiot, let's say, concerning the nekudot. Is that the same process as from the ta'amim as becoming a record in this purification process? Is it the same with the nekudot concerning the otiot?
Yes.
concerning the purification.
אפשר להגיד שזה מקביל.
You can say that it's parallel to it. It's similar. This whole process is similar in both of them.
כן.
Yes. Ita one.
Buongiorno, Rav.
Good morning, Rav. Is possible to say that otiot are the material to build the new partsuf?
Ken, nachon.
Yes, correct.
Miotiot nivna partsuf aba.
From the partsuf. From the letters, the otiot, the next potsuf is built. Okay, so let's keep going.
Kotaret inyan rosh toch sof shebechol partsuf v'seder itlabshut ha-partsufim.
The title, the rosh toch sof in each partsuf and the order of clothing of the partsufim in one another. Item 50. You already know the difference between the two malchut in each partsuf, the coupling malchut and the ending malchut. From the screen in the coupling malchut, 10 sefirot of reflecting light emerge from her and above, clothing the 10 sefirot of upper light, called 10 sefirot of the Rosh, meaning only roots. From there down, the 10 sefirot of the goof of the partsuf expand in the form of clothing of lights in complete vessels. These 10 sefirot of the goof divide into two phases of the 10 sefirot. 10 sefirot of toch, inside, and 10 sefirot of sof, end. The 10 sefirot of toch are positioned from the pe to the tabor, the place of the clothing of the lights in the vessels. The 10 sefirot of the siyum and sof of the partsuf are positioned from the tabor down to the siyum raglin. This means that malchut ends each sefira until it reaches its own quality, which is unfit to receive any light. Hence, the partsuf ends there. This cessation is called the end of the etzbaot raglin of the partsuf. And from there down, it is a vacant and empty space without light. And know that these kinds of ten sefirot extend from the root ten sefirot, called Rosh, since both are incorporated in the coupling malchut. This is so because there is the clothing power there, the reflected light that rises and clothes the upper light. There is also the screen's detaining force over malchut, so it would not receive the light. By this, the coupling with striking that raises reflected light occurs. At the Rosh, these two forces are only roots. Yet when they expand from above downward, the first force, which is a clothing force, is actualized in the 10 sefirot of toch, from the pe down to the tabu. The second force, which detains malchut from the receiving light, is actualized in the 10 sefirot of sof and siyum, from the tabor down to the end of the etzbaot reglin. These two kinds of ten sefirot are called chagat nehim, All ten sefirot of Toch, from Peh and Tabor, are called Chagat, and all ten sefirot of Sof, from Tabor down, are called Nehim.
Shelot.
Questions? Yes.
האם בכל מנה ומנה יש עשר ספירות?
For every portion, there is 10 sefirot of sof that cannot be received?
יש כאלו פרצופים שאין.
There are such פרצופים that don't have them.
לא מבין מה זה העשר ספירות דסוף ש...
I don't understand what are the 10 sefirot of sof. The 10 sefirot of toch, it's clear that they can be received in order to bestow.
And the sefirot, they can be received in order to bestow. So where will their place be?
I understand that it's written in the siyum, but in each part of the portion, there is a part that cannot be received.
I guess until Gemar Tikkun it should be like that. So in Gemar Tikkun there won't be a Sof. We return to Ein Sof, meaning that we can receive in order to bestow with no limits, and that's it.
Because we're usually saying that we take, say, a small portion, like a cup of water, a glass of water, and we try to perform that in order to bestow. The question is it even in that portion that there is a part that belongs to the Sof of the Partsuf?
I don't understand. Again?
I'm asking if there are five portions on the table, according to the example of the guest and the host. Five lights.
Yeah.
Is in each portion there is a part that enters the Toch and there is a part that enters the Sof?
Well, let's say so. Yes.
Rav, what is the significant difference between the desire called Malchut that is in the Sof of Partsuf and the desire to receive that is in the goof?
It's the same will to receive, it only depends what screen it can use.
What does it mean, it's the same desire to receive?
The will to receive that weighs in what sort of comparison it can be towards the upper light, that is in the Rosh. Then what it can be in equivalence with, he performs that, and it's called the Toch of the Partsuf, and whatever can't be in equivalence with the upper light, so it comes out of the connection with him, and that's called the Sof of the Partsuf.
Yes, but how can it be that there is a desire that doesn't receive the light in order to bestow? There is something...
There is a very big difference between to want to receive, to want to bestow, and to want to receive in order to bestow. And can't receive in order to bestow. There are such states. How's it with the guest and the host? That the guest really wants to receive, but he knows that if he receives, he'll be disconnected from the host, and then he doesn't receive. So on one hand, he has a desire for it. On the other hand, he doesn't have the right intention, a sufficient one, or he can't pay.
It's connected to the force of the pleasure?
The intensity of the pleasure, right? It depends on everything, as much as he can receive from the host in order to only think about the host and not himself.
Vakasha. Ken Oren.
Yes, Oren.
Galgalta.
Galgalta, before it stands all the light of Ensof?
Yeah.
What is below the siyum of the etzbaot raglin? That there is a empty light.
They don't feel there's anything there. They don't feel there's anything there. That's why it's called a vacant space. Afterwards, when more vessels and more screens are revealed, screens, vessels, same thing. Then they discover that there is more things under the siyum raglim.
So Galgalta didn't feel it? It wasn't included as part of its calculation?
We can't say about Galgalta so much, but below the Patsuf doesn't feel because its screen, the way it identifies with the upper light and all kinds of possibilities, they end on its siyum raglin.
Ot
more, yeah.
It's as if in the light there is no barrier; it's endless.
Yeah.
And in the vessel, there's suddenly something that has a measure. From here to here, I can. From there to there, I cannot.
Right.
Why does a vessel have the matter of quantity?
Because it works against its will to receive, so it has no choice. It must take into consideration its ability to be equivalent to the host.
Why is this ability quantitative and not qualitative?
It's also in quality. Quality and quantity.
It is quality, but it has the matter of quantity.
So there's both, because that's the vessel. That's the way it measures itself.
Where does he get it? Because in the light, there is no measure of quantity.
The vessel responds upon the light, but it responds on the light.
Why is this response not endless as the light endless, meaning 100% qualitative?
That's the difference between the will to receive and will to bestow. The will to bestow comes to the creator. The will to receive comes from the created being. And if the created being wants to invert its will to receive to be in order to bestow, then he's really limited.
But why is it like that? It's difficult for me to understand the difference between the creator and the creature here.
What?
Meaning, let's say the light is now striking the screen in the Rosh. It can enter a infinite pleasure if Ein Sof.
To where?
Into the vessel.
On behalf of the light, it can do whatever it wants to do. But it won't be equivalent of form anymore. It won't be according to the laws of creation.
You know, this division between the two types of the ten sefirot, the toch is what can be received, and sof is what there is rejection and what cannot be received. It is as if there is a quantity here. The same pleasure, this far I can receive, this far cannot be received.
It's not the same pleasure. Part of the pleasure that comes from the host can be received in order to bestow, and he receives it in the Toch, and the part that he can overcome in order to receive it, in order to bestow to the host, so he won't receive it. And there's a place for that in the Sof of the Patsuf, where he doesn't receive. He feels it and holds it far away.
Why are there two parts?
Because that's how he sees his will to receive, that in part of it he can enjoy the host, and by this giving good back to the host, and on the other half he can't do good to the host, even if he receives from him, and that's why he doesn't receive anymore.
Baror, Ken.
Clear? Yeah.
So
the end of the partsuf is a pleasure that is not clothed the connection with the Creator, with the host.
It's not clothed.
And this is why it's the suf of the partsuf?
Yeah, that he performs the suf, the end, on receiving the light in order to bestow.
And this is that same malchut that said, I will rule?
Not only I will rule.
The suf of the partsuf is that awakening the vessels of reception in order to bestow.
So all the pleasure of the toch is from the connection with the host?
Yes. Great.
The force of detainment, what he writes about, that is revealed in the suf.
Yes.
This force of detaining, where does that come from?
From the light itself? That what it reveals in the light, other than a great pleasure from the reception of the light, from the connection in the light, he discovers the greatness of the light, the greatness of the host, which is why it cannot receive anymore. There's too much pleasure. Too much.
Why does it detain?
Why?
Because he cannot clothe it in returning light.
Yes.
To continue Ido's question, when we say the light of Ein Sof, the direct light, it's really not infinite, it's finite. It's the vessel's impression from the light in phase four.
Yes.
So it's not something that has no limits. It is limited, that direct light.
If you have a cup and you want to fill it to the end, then will you have an end?
Yes.
Where?
Meaning Ein Sof or infinite means there's no limit. There's no more else to fill.
Yes, this is called Ein Sof.
So to begin with, when we use the direct light, surrounding light, this infinite light, it is limited. It's that same cup.
It is not limited. According to your vessels, it is not limited.
But the cup has edges, it has a limit. It's limited. What happens beyond the cup?
It is limited, but it's not that the light is limited.
So what's the border of the vessel?
It is the border of the kli, of the vessel. But the endless light, infinite light, the light of Ein Sof, it has no end. Give it a barrel, no problem, it'll fill it for you.
This might be philosophy, but the vessel of phase four, the biggest vessel that exists in reality.
Yes.
Is there something, let's say a barrel. So is there something beyond the edge of the barrel, outside the barrel?
Outside of the barrel, certainly there is something, but there no longer is called a barrel. It's no longer is called a vessel.
So it's not called light either.
With the light, you can also not measure because it's out of the barrel, let's say. I'm not sure what you're asking. I don't know what you're asking about.
What happens after the infinite vessel phase four? Is there something greater, or is that atzmuto, or
everything is measured only according to the vessel? If there is not a vessel, there is no light. You want to ask about the Creator? The Creator is infinite, outside of the vessel, inside of the vessel, however you twist it.
Ken.
Is
phase four just a phase or is that a vessel?
The phase four is a discernment.
This
phase, when it becomes, starts working as a vessel, it's phase four.
But the state of phase four is a state that still doesn't have vessels, if I understand correctly.
No. A phase is not a vessel. Through the screen, restriction, returning light, and then vessels. Yes.
Could we say that in Galgalta the Malchut is restricted totally until the Siyum?
I don't understand.
The force of detainment?
Before it receives?
Yeah, it sustains itself. It detains from receiving.
Let's see.
Because it doesn't happen in any other partsuf.
Yes, yes.
In the beginning, he writes that there's two types of malchut in every partsuf, the coupling malchut and the ending malchut. And then he writes that the ending malchut reaches a state that it doesn't receive anymore. What is that state that it doesn't receive anymore?
What partsuf do you speak of?
What he writes in the beginning. That there are two kinds of malchut in every partsuf. The coupling malchut and the ending malchut. Then he tells us that the coupling malchut brings out 10 sfirot of reflected light. Then he says that the ending malchut on each and every sfira until it reaches its own discernment that isn't worthy of receiving any light. What does that mean?
The will to receive that cannot receive in it anything else because it has no screen.
And then from here it becomes the coupling malchut and the next partsuf.
If the light comes and refines it, purifies it, and gives its forces in order to bestow, then it will be able to do in order to bestow it, will expand.
So the difference between the coupling malchut and the ending malchut are the screens in every partsuf.
That's correct. Everything depends on the screen.
That's what I wanted to ask. So it turns out that writing the letters is the screen moving between the pen and the tabu. That's how it...
Yes.
So adding the letters is the constant search and equivalence of form with the Creator.
Yes.
All of these discernments we're learning about, they're discernments in the vessels or in the light?
Discernments in the light from the side of the vessel in the light. The light has no discernments of its own, the light of itself. But when it clothes in the vessel contains it and has new discernments, new forms of discernment on it, which is why we call lights all forms of names. This is all from the Kli, the vessel.
So the process of revelation here, it's a process of the light or the vessel itself, the qualities in it, and only the light is revealing it.
The light reveals itself from the vessels.
I'm asking because eventually the process we're talking about is that where we discover the Creator, or do we eventually discover what's inside us already, only with the help of the light, if we could say that. Because it seems that what is happening here in this process is that vessel recognizes more parts inside it as time goes by, because
relative to the light, the vessel reveals itself in comparison to the light. The lights shake the vessels If the light wouldn't come and get stuck in the vessel, there would be no screen and an inner light and nothing.
All of these discernments were in the vessel to begin with?
No, only when the vessel meets the light. Only when the vessel meets the light. Okay, we're done with this, yes? That's it. Well, let's move to the next part. What is the next part?
The peace in the world. We are in the subtitle Hopes for Peace. So let's go to the next part of the lesson.